Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself and Justin Labar talked about the very, very controversial AEW Dynamite from last night, especially the footage behind the scenes from AEW All In. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Let me start with this, Justin. I actually thought there was going to be a swerve. I really felt going in to last night that they weren't going to show CM Punk and Jungle Boy, because the closer we got to the start of Dynamite, I started hearing more about, hey, well, he never mentioned CM Punk. It was just backstage footage. Then Tony Khan, who used to do interviews here on Busted Open, did an interview with Justin Barrasso on Sports Illustrated, said where it is going to lead to storyline on AEW with FTR and the Bucks. And I'm like, all right, they're going to show backstage footage, but it's not going to be the backstage footage that everyone was expecting. So first and foremost, Justin, were you surprised by what we saw on Dynamite last night?
I was, because much like you, I'm thinking the same. I'm like, all right, you know, this is going to be backstage footage. And for those in Radio Land, I'm using the air quotes, meaning like, you know, maybe it's going to be clearly doctored or photoshopped or AI altered. And Bucks and FTR is what you're selling here. So it's going to be something with them, or it's going to be, you know, like Dark Side of the Ring-esque silhouette reenactments of something dramatized of something. I didn't know like where the source of the footage would even be. Like I was like, all right, I don't think that, you know, it was AEW filming like a documentary. Do they have cameras? Okay. So security cameras, there happened to be a security camera framed perfectly where said incidents could happen. So first of all, I was just curious of what the source even would have been, you know, quite frankly. And then it was like, they're not going to show anything real that happened, because, I mean, like, did Punk just come out and completely tell a totally false version of what happened? Like, I couldn't in my mind wrap my head around a situation of having clear footage, which apparently they did, but having clear footage that was going to make sense for them to show. Couldn't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, and we're going to dive in. And like I said, I'm really going to lean on the Busted Open Nation, 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. We're going to take a ton of phone calls from the Busted Open Nation this morning, because I really want to hear, especially Justin, from the AEW faithful, what they thought about that show. So in order to really kind of recap what we saw and heard last night, I want to go back a little bit further. And I think it's got to start with CM Punk sitting with Ariel Helwani and kind of talking about all the incidents that happened. Like, that was kind of like the first salvo that was fired, because Ariel Helwani, as we all know, not a big fan of Tony Khan because of the situation that they were in. Ariel Helwani did an interview with Tony Khan, didn't really go well. And I feel like Ariel Helwani has been very, very outspoken about that interview and how that went.
That was the interview where basically Tony, like, no commented everything, right?
Yes. And just didn't want to answer anything. Now, Ariel Helwani then doing an interview with CM Punk, and Justin, CM Punk had no qualms in answering questions and answering them truthfully and honestly. And I feel like that really stemmed, I guess, from what we saw last night on Dynamite, because it felt like last night's show was just a response of that interview that CM Punk had with Ariel Helwani.
Yes, it felt like the entire show of Dynamite, at least some of the major advertising points, was like one big, you know, like, yeah, you hear about like just stay, you know, you hear about, you know, all the different things, stay in your lane, do you, focus on your business, keep your house in order, all those cliches of like just, you know, tune out your competition and noise from a respective, like, you know, publicly. But like last night, between the response to the Punk interview, between Ospreay says something that I know we'll get to that I didn't even know that Ospreay was in the conversation for, and then you have like your Samoan world champion against a Rhodes randomly, you know, just days after, of course, Cody Rhodes takes on the tribal chief of the Samoan bloodline. Like, it just felt like WWE dictated that show.
But the worst part,
and not in a good way.
And the worst part about it, Justin, for me, is that myself, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, and Bully Ray, in this position just a week ago, we were doing the show from Philadelphia, and we're in Philadelphia just 2 days before night number one of WrestleMania. And what are we talking about? We're talking about AEW. Why are we talking about AEW? Because of what Adam Copeland had to say to start off Dynamite last week, which I felt was amazing. Him standing in the middle of the ring, what I feel like was speaking from the heart about, let's stop the tribalism. Let's stop competing against one another. When he mentioned WWE and people were booing, he was like, no, don't boo the WWE. Like, let's celebrate all of professional wrestling. We're all on the same side. And here we are, like, right after that, four hosts praising Adam Copeland going out there and making that kind of speech, because it needed to be said. And I felt the best place for it to be said was on AEW Dynamite. I was like, wow, this is the turning of a page. This is the start of a new chapter for AEW. But I also said, let's see what the follow-up was going to be. I got to be honest with you, Justin. You couldn't come up with a worse follow-up than the show that they put on last night. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And the irony is, you're right. You know, Adam Copeland a week ago gives that great, you know, pro wrestling fan speech. You know, here's a legend in the business giving you a fan perspective speech of like, let's just enjoy what you want to enjoy, right? Let's just be happy, you know. Let's just be happy where we are. Let's be happy we can show up and cheer. We're not in a pandemic anymore. Like, let's just love what you want to love. Love who you want to love in wrestling, just whatever. So he cuts that great speech, and like you just said, you know, calls for great conversation and reply from you guys and from all of us. And then a week later, kicks off the show on Dynamite, has what I thought was a very entertaining match against Penta. So it's like, all right, this is a good start to the show. And then after that, well, mind you, the countdown clock in the corner of the screen while he's having his match, Excalibur has to jump in and say, well, that clock might not be accurate because, you know, this, we have a time limit here. These guys could keep going, you know, so trying to keep people in the moment of the match. They do the match. It's a good match between he and Penta. Shout out to them. But then after that, AEW proceeds to basically just piss on Adam Copeland's rah-rah speech.
Yeah, and again, you're talking to – listen, you advertised – the all-in backstage footage. So once you advertise that, you have to come through with it. Because I even said, if that was a swerve or you didn't follow up with it, that would be a knockout punch to AEW. So once you advertised it, you had to show it. Because if you didn't, people are going to be pissed off. People are going to be angry. But I still stand by what I said on the show yesterday, Justin, with Bully, and the fact that it's a no-win situation. Bully said it too. It's a no-win situation. I listened to Eric Bischoff. He said it. It's a no-win situation. Everybody that I've listened to has said, why are you doing this? You're putting yourself in a losing battle. And that's exactly what happened. There was nothing good that would come from showing that footage. Why? One, CM Punk is no longer with your company. And do you really think that people are going to see that footage and say, you know what? I'm not watching CM Punk anymore. I'm not watching WWE. No. So there, you backed yourself in the corner, and it was a no-win situation for Tony Khan and for AEW.
Yeah, you watch that footage, and then it's done, and I go, wow. Can't wait to buy the AEW pay-per-view to see Jack Perry versus CM Punk. Oh, wait. It's just... I mean, come on. Like, you know.
And Justin, it goes far beyond just the uber pro wrestling fans talking. It goes even further than that. It goes to like Forbes tweeting out last night the results of AEW Dynamite. And they put out that, you know, CM Punk defeats Jack Perry. Like, because that's how it came across. I mean, you couldn't hear the audio. So you don't know what Jack Perry was saying to CM Punk. It was the worst case scenario. And like I said, we'll get into the details of everything that happened. But, man, to the language that was being spoken on that show, to introducing characters and personalities that we had no idea who they were, because you're speaking to the very small minority of wrestling fans. I hate to say this, please. I don't want these words to come out of my mouth. And I almost feel like I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it. That show last night reminded me of WCW circa 2000.
Well, I don't think you're alone in that, because I think last night I saw two things trending that shouldn't be trending on a Wednesday night. And that was CM Punk and WCW 2000.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Bully Ray.
Do you know who I am?
I talk pro wrestling and I play rock and roll.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation.
It's Wednesday. You know what that means.
The only place to party is Busted Open After Dark with me, Uncle Bully, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation 156 and on the SiriusXM app.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
As promised, Tony Khan did play that AEW All In from Wembley footage. So first, before they played the footage, they had the Young Bucks throw to the footage. And the Young Bucks trying, I guess the best they could, to try to use this footage to make it a story that how FTR was behind CM Punk. And tell me when I'm wrong here. That FTR was behind CM Punk confronting Jungle Boy because FTR wanted to cause a distraction to the Young Bucks, because not only are they a great tag team, but they're also EVPs. So they would have to address the situation with CM Punk, which was going to distract them from their match with FTR at All In. Am I right in that whole scenario?
I will tell you when you start telling lies, but you're not told a lie yet.
Like, so they use this convoluted, like, I don't even know. I mean, that story has so many holes in it, but somehow they tried to explain that footage storyline-wise. For you, Justin, did their story work?
No. No. And I acknowledge, I will at least acknowledge that they at least tried to mention and promote a match that they are doing and they are able to put on TV in a few weeks, which is FTR versus Bucks. I at least acknowledge them trying to tie it in, but it was such a stretch and it was so obviously, you know, it just made it laughable. And then, and oh, by the way, too, as we're talking about this intro here with the Bucks, like they're sitting with one monitor behind them and like a shelving rack and like a whiteboard with some, like it looked like they were in like the teacher's lounge. Like how it looks so low rent. Like go into your television production truck. Go somewhere where it looks just a little bit more, a little classier, a little more high rent, a little more like command center. Like you're the freaking EVPs. You're executives. You're the office. Like put yourselves in executive type of settings that look so indie wrestling. And I say it with a negative connotation because I work in indie wrestling, but that looks so indie wrestling negative the way that looked. So already just when I see the visual, I'm already off to a bad start with it.
Yeah. You would think it would be like in a boardroom someplace like they're, you know, on the 42nd floor of this huge building because they're EVPs, you know, and they got the suits on and they're in a boardroom and it's almost like a, you know, PowerPoint of exactly what happened, like being displayed or something like that. Yeah, it was weird. It was like they were doing it in a broom closet full of supplies for a for an elementary school. It was just weird the way that was presented. All right, then we get in to the footage, Justin, and I gotta be honest, when I saw it and I saw CM Punk, I was like, holy shit, they're really gonna play this. But it was security footage, so you can't hear the audio. I would love to hear what Jungle Boy was saying. So basically, Jungle Boy comes into the back, CM Punk approaches Jungle Boy, and you kind of see like almost like he sees CM Punk's arms in the air, like almost expressing himself like why. And you see Jungle Boy and then the back and forth. And you see it kind of escalate where they're shouting at one another. Punk pushes Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy goes down. Down goes Jungle Boy. Down goes Jungle Boy. And then like a cat, Punk is on top of Jungle Boy, which I counted for exactly 3.5 seconds before everybody's pulled apart. Samoa Joe takes Jungle Boy out into the corner. You got like multiple people holding back CM Punk. CM Punk, and I'm guessing that's Tony Khan because you see a table, but you can't see who's sitting at it. You know, CM Punk yells something at whoever's sitting behind that table, and CM Punk walks off. I mean, that's basically the footage that we saw last night.
Yes, and so every bit of what we saw added up to what Punk said to Ariel Helwani. We see Punk approach Jungle Boy, and he doesn't just approach him and fly off the handle. We see him, what, speaking to Jungle Boy for, what, 20, 30 seconds? So it's clear that he's trying to, come on, Jack, give me an apology. Give me something of rationale here. Don't just, and then, you know, and Punk said, I didn't punch anybody, but I just did a little choke, and we see that. Punk also mentioned how Joe was there. We see Samoa Joe come and help break it up. Punk also mentioned I had boys with me. He didn't really know any names, but then you see Malachi Black come strolling in. It was clear he was watching from afar to see what was going to happen, but was there because he was there with Punk.
Well, really quick on that point, Punk didn't want to mention names when he was with Ariel Helwani, but they had no problem throwing everybody under the bus by showing that footage last night. But
Nope. And then we see him choking Jungle Boy. We see Chris Hero, who's a backstage producer, get up and look like his two children just try to murder each other. He was so distraught. And you know, you talk about there being no audio. But Dave, here's where Punk filled this part in. Yeah. And that last part, as he leans over his monitors, we know, because he told us, that's where he leans over and says, "You're a clown. I quit." And made Tony Khan fear for his life. Everything Punk said was shown crystal clear. So it's like, why did you just show that?
To me, Justin, it almost felt like a little less than what Punk said. Like it seemed like it really, honestly, watching it, it didn't seem that bad at all.
On the level of, because Tony Khan went out and said, on the level of, I was feared for my life, when the most that happened was maybe a television monitor got scooched towards you a few inches.
Yep.
And somebody hollered at you. Welcome to the wrestling business. Like, that's where it's like, okay, this was not at all like what in our heads and our imagination when Tony Khan said months ago, I feared for my life. In your mind, your imagination goes to like, oh my God, like what happened? Like, did somebody pull out a weapon? Like,
no. Yeah, no, I was expecting from that reaction, like, to see that footage where like monitors are being thrown in the air and tables are being overturned. Basically, we got a push and Jungle Boy fell back and Punk jumped on him. And, you know, we couldn't see exactly what he was doing, but Punk said that he was choking him. And like I counted, it was 3.5 seconds before everybody's pulled away. So the whole thing lasted from the push to like where everybody was broken apart, 5 or 6 seconds of real like physicality between the two of them. And the funny thing to me where I laughed out loud was you mentioned like Malachi Black, like he's got like a coffee in his hand. He's like strolling in and he sees it. It happens. And he kind of just strolls away with the coffee in his hand. Like, you know, like nothing. It seemed much to do about nothing. Again, we couldn't hear the audio. I wasn't there. But watching it, it seemed much to do about nothing, honestly.
Yeah, Malachi Black's like, oh, I've seen bigger skirmishes in the gym when I'm training.
Yeah, yeah, like, know. I mean, it just didn't seem like it was all crazy. And to your point, Justin, it was pretty much on point and exactly what CM Punk described with Ariel Helwani. Like, pretty much to the T, without actually hearing anything, I thought CM Punk painted a beautiful word picture because that's exactly what I saw in the footage last night.
Had the footage been a complete 180 to what Punk said, or maybe not even complete, but if there was something major or glaring, like let's say if that footage would have shown that for a moment, Jack Perry physically had control or got the better of Punk. If something like that would have been, you know, like, oh, Punk left that part out of a story. If there was anything like that, okay, we're having a different conversation then, because while we're still debating, you're using TV time to do this and you're just replying to, again, a guy who doesn't work there anymore, you could at least make the case of, okay, AEW tried to use their biggest platform, which is their Wednesday show, to discredit Punk, and by discrediting him on this situation, now you can all of a sudden question everything else he said in the interview where he's burying Tony and AEW. You can all of a sudden try to say, okay, people of the jury, can you believe anything out of this man's mouth? Different conversation if that happened, but that did not happen at all. It's just exactly what we said. And can I bring up a point now, Dave, about Jungle Boy Jack? We've all heard the stories and from wrestlers in the 70s and 80s, in the territory days, where if they were out at a bar and they got into a fight with a local, you know, so, oh, that wrestling's fake, or how tough are you? To where they would say they had to win that fight, because if they lost it, the promoters got no use for a guy who was just in the local news losing a fight to average Joe. The promoters got no use to trying to bill you as some tough guy, some badass, some champion, come down to the Civic Center and see him fight. Okay, well, now that I, and it wasn't much, but Jungle Boy Jack Perry, who already has to deal with the fact that he's very undersized, you know, he's a very, you know, just on looking at him, he's a good guy underdog. He's already got to deal with that. The company has just shown footage of him getting handled minutes after he talks smack on TV, on the pay-per-view. They just showed video of him getting handled by a man 20 years his elder. What value do you see now? Do you want us to see? And, oh, I'm going to pay a ticket to see Jack Perry and go ahead and try to sell me as some tough guy that he is. Where is that?
Well, because the only reason that people love Jack Perry was because he was undersized, he was the underdog, and you wanted to see him come from behind and win. You're 100% right. That wasn't the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, pushing Jack Perry. That was CM Punk. I mean, CM Punk is not this, you know, he's not the Polish power Ivan Putski by any stretch of the imagination. He's not this huge, muscular guy that's going to knock you off your feet. And let me tell you something, Jack Perry took a header. Like, when he got pushed, dude, he went, whoa. I mean, and
CM Punk's the guy that couldn't win in the UFC. So it's not like he's famed shoot fighter.
And then Samoa Joe took him into the corner like a child. Like, took him in the corner like a child, where, like, four people have to hold back CM Punk. Like, to your point.
Joe scooped up Jack the way I scoop up my son when it's time to leave the playground because you're having a tantrum.
Yes. And then on the other side, Tony Khan comes out. And he said it was the first time. This is a guy who's been to the ECW arena. He said, this is the first time in wrestling that I ever feared for my life. Where did you fear for your life? Like, I'm not in that position. I shouldn't be speaking for somebody else. But watching that footage, honest to God, where did you fear for your life? And then the other thing is that, and we're going to get into, after the break, what FTR had to say after that video footage was shown. But how does this help FTR at all? Now the Bucks are saying that FTR did this because they're friends with CM Punk. So the guy that you're trying to point out and make the villain, the guy who left your company, your uber babyface tag team, you're presenting them as friends with CM Punk. And then the guys who are coming to save the day, Jack Perry and the Young Bucks, they're your heels. How does this even work storyline-wise? Who the fuck is thinking this shit up? My God. Woo.
You know what I want to see FTR do right now? You want to know, Dave? Here's what I want to see FTR do. I want to see FTR show up on Monday Night Raw and get into some shit with Drew McIntyre. That makes more sense to me now because apparently they're best friends with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre's, you know, got a problem with CM. That's what I want to see. Because that makes more sense to me.
Justin,
that's what I want to see.
CM Punk no longer works for your company. He works for WWE. And by the way, he's one of the most popular wrestlers in the WWE. And the guy's not even wrestling. He's hurt. He got one of the biggest pops this weekend in Philadelphia. Guy wasn't even wrestling. Do you think there's going to be one person that's going to say, I'm no longer a CM Punk fan. I hate CM Punk now after what I saw. Or you know what? I'm not watching WWE anymore because of what I saw last night. 0.0. 0.0. My God.
Boxing is on the rise, and At the Fights has you covered. With over a combined century of boxing expertise, Randy Gordon and Jerry Cooney break down the biggest news and fights.
David Benavidez sending Andre to his first loss.
And talk to the best in boxing today.
Showtime Sean Porter.
I'm interested in seeing fighters be the best version of themselves.
Catch At the Fights Mondays and Fridays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on your home for boxing. Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Let's go, champ!
We promised about what we heard from FTR. So let's go back to last night, immediately after that footage of Punk and Jungle Boy.
Speaking of FTR... Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler.
That didn't take long, huh?
They are not
They're not on our sheet, Tony.
Not on this format at all.
Man, there's a lot of things that, well, Fish just got ruffled up here.
And can we pause that? Can we stop it right there? I know that's Bully's gimmick, but I'm infringing on it. Right there. Right there, that screams WCW 2000. That screams Bash at the Beach 2000. Like, Justin, am I right? Like, that was one of the things that killed people, is that you're exposing the business. Hey, this isn't on our format sheet. Like, Russo would come out there with his Yankee jersey on or his San Francisco Giants jersey on, and, you know, and they'll be like, wait a second, this wasn't scheduled. This wasn't on the format. And people's heads were on fire because, wait, by saying that, you're saying that everything else that happens on this show is organized, tagged, and formatted. So it exposes the business. So what do? They do the exact same thing that killed the company 24 years ago.
Bro.
Oh, look, my
if you're,
God.
Fucking morons! Said it three times. Can I get an amen? And look, if you're going to try to pull that whole, oh my God, we've gone off script, don't hit their music. Let them just walk out as if, like, let them walk out as if they just pushed past Tony Khan in the gorilla position and are literally hijacking the show.
Oh, God! Let's hit their, Justin, hit their, you are hit so their music, right. Oh.
Cue their video graphics up. Like, what?
Justin, it's a great point. This isn't on the format sheet. We weren't expecting that, but their music's playing. Their entrance theme is playing as they're coming down the entrance ramp. Like if they were just coming down. Well, you know what? WCW had it right. Because when Vince Russo came out, you could tell nobody knew that was happening. But here it's like, wait a second. That's not on our format sheet. That wasn't supposed to happen. But their fucking music is playing.
And oh, by the way, if it's not on the script, if it's not on the format, guess what? You can hit a mute button to silence your microphones. I mean, it's just, it's such a, yeah, the whole, we went off, this is off script. It's you have to do that really, really well if you want to at all execute with any level of believability. And just before, as we just started to play the clip, we'll finish it here. Just before they started it, just before FTR comes out, when we came out of the security footage being shown, and then we go back to the Bucks, and they show their scapegoat shirt, and they walk out, they leave the teacher's lounge, and then we go to the shot of the commentary desk, and Tony Schiavone looked like he wanted to be anywhere else in the world. He looked so embarrassed. This is a guy who has... And of course, he lived through the dying days of WCW. This is a guy who was once fed the line to say, oh, that'll put some butts in the seats, to try to spoil the ending over on Raw, which then was a seismic shift in the Monday Night Wars at that point. This is a guy who, the look on his face after seeing that was like, holy shit, how have I found myself here again?
Like, the only thing that would have made that moment better is if they were going head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, and right after that footage, somebody said, yeah, and if you want to see CM Punk, tune into Monday Night Raw because he's about to cut a promo on Drew McIntyre. Okay. Like, I love Tony Schiavone. I love Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone, I swear, is one of my heroes. I grew up watching and listening to Tony Schiavone. I know he kills me on a weekly basis on his podcast with Conrad Thompson, and I love the show. What Happened When is one of my favorite podcasts, and I'll listen to it as long as it's on the air, and I love it. I love Conrad, and I love Tony Schiavone. The pain that was in Tony's face, to your point, Justin, said it all. That his facial expression told you everything you needed to know about what we had just seen on AEW Dynamite.
Yeah, and Schiavone's a guy who, look, after the CM Punk interview, I think Schiavone came out and said, can we just move on? Can we just, you know, it's in the past. There's nothing to be benefit and gain from it. So You know, this was not. I saw some people on Twitter yesterday when I made note of Tony's face. I saw a few people trying to defend it, saying, "Well, he was just selling. You know, the EVPs are the heels. The Bucks are the heels, but EVPs. He was just selling the disgrace of." I was like, "No, that was not a sell job. That was not a, you know, that was a."
They are not scheduled. They are not
exactly. They are not scheduled.
Not scheduled.
Yeah. But Justin, it's, we'll see. Like you said, we'll see what the follow-up is going to be. But man, listen, to be fair, me and Bully criticized The Rock when there was that footage after Monday Night Raw where he was saying, like, I don't care that the show is over. And he was talking about, like, he was using inside terminology. We criticized The Rock for doing that on a segment that was, for all intents and purposes, a home run. Like a grand slam, an A-plus segment. But he said one or two terms that he should not have said. And Bully and I took him to task for that. This is just bad from top to bottom. The terminology, the video footage, everything involved. So a lot there. And what he said. First of all, I'm glad he corrected himself because it's not Revolution that's coming up. It's Dynasty. So, you know, that's a little bit of a slip of the tongue. And you know what? I can understand why, because instead of promoting the pay-per-view, you're going back to something that happened 8 months ago. And we all laughed at the same time because as soon as the music got turned off, you audibly hear a fan at ringside scream out, "Nobody cares." And basically, Cash said the same thing, Justin.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's why I'm hoping we get a phone call or two from somebody who was there live, because I did see some video that surfaced, but, you know, it's an arena of 2,000 people, whatever, you know, so you can't judge off of one. But, like, I saw, like, video that people took there at Dynamite watching the big screen, and, like, they were chanting CM Punk or cheering for CM Punk or I would hear smatterings of, like, "This is stupid. What are we doing? Give me rest." Like, so I just, you know, I want to get more of the temperature of the room last night. I want to get more of that.
Yeah, we will. We're going to get there in a second, but just to, you know, and that was a very short audio clip of Cash in the ring, but think about the things that he said. Why are we playing this? Everybody, all the fans and everybody in the back are sick and tired of this. Move on. Put it in the past. Let's focus on Dynasty. And then the last thing he said, it's, "You're a bunch of petty little bitches." Like, that sums it up right there. You're being petty. You're being petty. Move on. I mean, and you know what? The audience agrees. And by the way, Justin, that sounded like a crowd from WCW in 2000. Think about it. Was that crowd invested in anything that FDR said in the middle of that ring last night? There was a smattering of cheers and claps. The fans, Justin, more than anybody, and Tony says it's always about the fans, right? It's all about the fans. The fans do not care. They don't care.
Yeah, and then the Bucks lean into it. It's their pinned tweet from last night. They tweeted EV Petty. So they're leaning into this. And again, if this somehow can help you sell your match and sell the pay-per-view, I guess good for you. That's what you're, but like, I really will wonder the bigger picture, Dave, given how much collectively AEW and Tony Khan and the Bucks, but like they've been trying to pull the curtain back so much, and they're leaning into the fact that these are EVPs and Cody's not there anymore and Punk's not there and whatever. Like, for a tag team that was once one of the most over baby faces in the wrestling industry, That's a hard road to ever picture them getting back to being babyfaces like that.
It's going to be tough.
Let Jimmy Smith school you on the cruel world of fight sports on Unlocking the Cage.
MMA fans don't really want to see how the sausage gets made. They just want the end product.
He's the host the fighters respect.
Chris Cyborg, MMA legend.
And my favorite report, really, because it's good.
With the analysis every fan needs.
You do such a great job with describing this whole MMA thing to us, like a teaching seminar.
Listen Monday and Friday from 2 to 5 Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
I didn't see any of these rumors or innuendos that Triple H was talking specifically about Will Ospreay. So, and again, if there were rumors and innuendos, once again, you're talking to a very, very small, minute audience that was talking about that to begin with.
Yeah, I didn't connect that's who Triple H was referencing. First off, I just say this. I don't know. Was this Will Ospreay's words, or was he told to say this? I don't know that. Here's the thing. You know, Cody, when he was in AEW, famously took the sledgehammer to the throne, right? Symbolizing, you know, Triple H's weapon and his throne. And there's one thing in wrestling to do things with gimmicks and what have you. It is a whole other thing when you make that about a man, his job, and then his wife and the mother of his children. That's something that's hard to come back from. And so I started by saying whose idea, whose words were they? Because you know what? Somewhere down the line, maybe, if Will Ospreay ever did want to be in WWE, these words might come back to really harm him and what that result would be. And whether it was his words or if he was told to say it, and if he was told to say it, you know, he I think he's going to regret that. Maybe he already does, but and then an assassin with a machine gun. You're talking about the guy who is booking the number one company in the world in pro wrestling, and you're going up against him in a war of words, apparently, and I don't even know if he knew he was talking about you, but you're the assassin with the machine gun. Come on, Will Ospreay is a great pro wrestler, and he's put on some great matches and been very exciting to watch in AEW. Not taking that away from him, but you're the assassin with a machine gun against the biggest booker right now in the world. I mean, come on now.
It was wrong in so many different ways, Justin. First and foremost, if you want to counter that, again, go on a show. Go on Pat McAfee's show if Pat McAfee wants you on his show as a guest. Come here on Busted Open and say, hey, there were some rumors and innuendos that Triple H was speaking about me. Well, if he was speaking about me, here's the honest truth. I travel all the time, yada, yada, yada. You want to do that? That's fine. The way Will Ospreay did that last night, you couldn't be more lowbrow than the way Will Ospreay attacked that last night. You talk about somebody's wife? Like, dude, you and I could be having a disagreement, Justin, and you could be justified in what you're saying. You bring my daughter or you bring my wife into that conversation, now all bets are off. Now you cross the line. And I believe Will Ospreay crossed that line. The only thing you accomplish is grinding against the boss's daughter. Dude, that's fucked up, man. I'm sorry, but that was... I hope Will Ospreay regrets saying those things this morning, because that was about as lowbrow as you could possibly go.
Well, it's lowbrow, again, mentioning a man's wife and the mother of his children. But, like, it's not like the Triple H booking... So Triple H is in the position he's in. It's not like he's in the position he's in and like he's getting, you know, overwhelming negative reaction of, God, this guy is failing in his chief content role. The company is thriving.
They had the biggest WrestleMania of all time. And some fans are saying that night number two of WrestleMania was the best WrestleMania night of all time. Nobody's complaining about what happened this past weekend in Philadelphia.
It's just, once again, and again, we've seen this with AEW and you know, a lot about this episode, but we've seen this in the past with the way that again, they respond to pettiness, or the way they respond, or the way they take things personal. It's like, read the room. I mean, how tone deaf can you be? Like, really? That's, again, as he says it in the promo, you have valuable TV minutes, and that's what you're going to, what he's doing. You know, and we when we talked earlier about, you know, looking at Tony Schiavone's face when they came out of the backstage footage, you know, Renee didn't look super comfortable as soon as he said that standing next to her. So I did. Last night's episode, again, there were some good things in there, but you have to scrape aside a whole pile of shit to get to it.
And again, Triple H didn't name Will Ospreay by name, and he didn't do it on WWE programming. He did it in response to a question that was asked on a talk show. So everybody wants people to be honest, but when they're honest, they get upset. Triple H was being honest. Hey, there's some people that didn't sign because, you know what? Maybe being a WWE superstar, the grind, the schedule. Hell, you know, there's people that have been very, very open, Justin, that said, hey, the reason I signed with AEW is because the schedule is so much better than the WWE schedule. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in that at all. So if that's the reason why, but again, he was not named. You know, Will Ospreay was not named in that interview. But now you're using, as Will Ospreay said, to your point, Justin, he said, hey, Tony Khan said, I'm giving you 5 minutes of TV time and it's expensive. And you use that time once again to knock a guy that a lot of people are calling the savior of pro wrestling in Triple H. Like, why do you feel the need to go there? Again, if you want to go tick for tack and say, hey, you know what? I'll go on Pat McAfee's show and say it. If I want to go on Busted Open and talk about the quote-unquote rumor. Rumor, and I didn't see it anywhere. And Justin, if there were rumors, that's, again, a very vocal, small minority of people that are talking about it.
Well, why? And also, again, in recent history, they've signed Mercedes Moné. They've signed Will Ospreay. They've signed Okada. So you can make the case that any of them are maybe who Triple H has in mind. If WWE was involved in any negotiations with any of those three, so meaning the talent had the choice to make, and they said, you know what, I'm going here because of the schedule. So again, to single out and put it on, to have Will Ospreay be singled out again, whether it was his or whether he was told to say it, it just puts a bad light on Will Ospreay. And you're right earlier, what you said, there's no shame in saying that, yeah, the schedule was lighter and that was more appealing, especially, but you do this again, not on Dynamite. You do this in a podcast. You do this in a sit down in a longer form situation where you explain it to say, I like the lighter schedule because I'd get paid. It can be on Dynamite and Collision, but AEW allows us to do other things. So we're able to go to some independent shows, to some conventions, whatever, where I'm able to make that money and I don't have to, you know, split, you know, like you can explain business wise, you know, why it makes sense, you know, in addition to personal and being able to be at home more or what have you. So like, there's a way to explain that if you really want to respond to these comments that you seem so offended by, but doing it in that tight format on TV out of the blue, it makes no sense.
And Justin, I go a little bit of a different way with things, and I'll just use it in our forum, in our world. So just to make an example out of it and compare, I never come on the air and bash any other wrestling shows, any other wrestling podcast. I never do that. I just don't. I'll praise it. I'll promote JR's podcast, Tony Schiavone's, Bruce Pritchard's, Jim Cornette's, whatever you like. I have no problem doing it. I don't look at those shows as competition because we kind of live in a different world. And I want everybody to really like thrive in this pro wrestling community. Hell, Justin, I reached out to you to be a part of this show, like, because I want it to be diverse. I want everybody to have a voice. I want an older audience. I want a younger audience. I want everything. I will always talk positive about other podcasts, but I'll use this as an example. One, Vince Russo. Vince Russo, when it comes to pro wrestling, do not see eye to eye. We don't. Like, we couldn't have different opinions than the ones that we have about pro wrestling. So what did I do, Justin? I invited Vince Russo on my air. And we talked about it. and we talked about it, and he disagreed with me about Cody. He disagreed with me about the WWE. And then what did Vince Russo put out? A tweet where he mentioned me about how Cody Rhodes got him. And he was wrong. And that takes somebody to be like, hey, I was wrong about this situation. And Vince Russo did that, and he gets my respect and credit for that. Another one I'll bring up is Conan and Disco Inferno. Disco Inferno has been very vocal about me being a Cody crybaby. He's mentioned me on the show. He's mentioned me on Twitter. And that's fine. He's entitled to his opinion. But what did Conan and Disco Inferno do? They didn't just talk about me on their show. They didn't just tweet about me. They invited me on their podcast. And we talked about it. And we talked about it. And we disagreed about it. But they opened up the door and they let me in and they invited me on their show. And you know what? Conan came to our show at the Victory Beer Garden on Thursday. We shook hands. We had a hug. And he even said to me, he goes, Dave, we don't see eye to eye, but I respect you. And I said, man, I respect you. You're a legend. Thank you for giving me the time on your air. That's how you do it. That's how, if you're going to use the time, only use the time if the other person gets a time to talk about it. Again, CM Punk didn't talk bad about AEW on WWE programming. That interview was on Ariel Helwani. This interview, the only reason why Triple H talked about it was because it was asked on the Pat McAfee show. Now you're using valuable time on Dynamite. And why? How does that make you look good, Will Ospreay? You're the ultimate babyface. Everybody loves you right now. And you're going to spend the time to get more over by putting down Triple H right after the most successful WrestleMania in history? Go ahead, Justin.
No, I was just going to say right there. That is what, aside from the future ramifications that could have to Ospreay's career, if and when he's never in AEW again, if he wanted to venture elsewhere. But also, like you just said, he's one of their most over baby faces right now. So that's why part of me goes, was he told to say this? If it was my company and I wanted to lash out and respond to this, who am I going to have say these words that I want out there that I think the crowd might respond to the most? So you put the new baby face out there. And so that's why I wonder. And again, it's so, you know, low rent, low brow, out of nowhere, you didn't just sell me on, again, spending $50 to see Ospreay and a match. Like you did none of that. You did none of that. All you did is make him sound ridiculous. Oh, I'm an assassin with a machine gun, and you're only the booker because of who your wife is. Like, what?
That is what? I mean, Triple H has done the most with WWE than we could say about WWE in over 25 years.
Yeah.
Over 25 years. And yeah. if it was Will Ospreay's idea to say that, if he was so upset by what Triple H had to say and he took it personal, then that's Tony Khan's job to say, listen, we got a pay-per-view coming up in a couple of weeks. Now is not the time. You want to go on your social media and say something? You want to go on a talk show and say something? You're not using my TV time to say that. You're over with the crowd. These fans love you. There's no reason to go there. No good happens with going out there and saying that. Let's focus on what we're doing here. Knock it out of the park. Go talk about your match with Daniel Bryan.
So either way, whether it's that, what you just said, whether it was Will Ospreay who wants to say that, and he just did that, whether it's that and Tony let it, or whether it's Tony wanted to be said and telling Ospreay to do it, either way, it feeds back into what Punk was just saying, which is this isn't being ran like a business. This isn't being ran by somebody who's being a clear cut boss. This is, you know, like the decisions are being made based upon the wrong reasons.
Justin, again, it kills everything Adam Copeland said in that ring last week. And it really just justifies everything that CM Punk, as you said on Ariel Helwani's podcast.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From eight sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.